Of me again in the Word of God to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, and reading verse 38, the last verse of the chapter. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, reading verse 38. The words of the Saviour. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And my subject, or my title this morning, is Who is on the Lord's Side? I'm sure some of us are familiar with that phrase. It's a title from a hymn. But this is really what the Lord is addressing here. He's drawing a line in the sand. There are many nationalities and many different types of people in this life, and we rejoice in that. We rejoice in diversity. But from a spiritual point of view, there are only two classes of people in this world. There are only two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of darkness, and there is the kingdom of light. And this is really what we see here in this verse. There's this great division. Whose side am I on? Do I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I his child? Or am I in the kingdom of darkness? And the Bible teaches very clearly that although this is God's creation and it's his world, yet this is a fallen world, and this world system is run not by God, but by Satan, with a lowercase g. He is the god of this world. He orchestrates much evil in this world. And so this world is under God's judgment. It has a very small time period left in his eternal plan. So am I on the Lord's side, or am I in the kingdom of darkness? This is really the issue here in this verse. Am I ashamed of professing Christ? Because this world is antagonistic towards all that the Lord stands for. Well, we have, as people, we have many, many needs. We need food, we need clothing, we have many needs. But not just these things, not just physical needs, but we have spiritual and moral needs as well. And one of the great needs that we have, we might not always be aware of this or conscious of this, but one of the needs that we have is the need to be accepted, a sense of belonging. There's a strong craving in the human soul to be accepted, to be accepted amongst peers, or to have a sense of belonging. As that saying goes, no man is an island. We want to be accepted. We want to be accepted by a group, or we want to be in. We would not be isolated. Most people have that strong desire and craving. And if I don't belong to my Creator, if I haven't been reconciled to my God, I will be looking for that acceptance in the wrong places. For example, I'll be looking for it in this world. The opinions of the world and what people, the opinions of people, what is popular, what is in trend, what is fashionable, these things will be very, very important to me. And according to this verse, this is very dangerous. Because if that natural desire to be have that sense of belonging and to be accepted, if that desire is directed to this world, I will inevitably end up rejecting Christ and being ashamed of Christ. That is the inevitable outcome. So there's a danger. This is a natural phenomenon. We all have this desire to be accepted. But where do I direct that need? That's the question we should be asking ourselves. And another question we should ask this morning is, why? Why are people, and it's obvious that people are, why are people ashamed of Christ? Why are people embarrassed about the Bible? Because they are. There's no question about that, especially in today's society. There is such a vehement hatred under the surface concerning the Bible, and even the concept of there being a loving creator. People hate this concept. It's true. But why is this the case? Why is there such hatred and hostility? Why is there? Why are people ashamed? And you often see this with not all politicians are like this, but so many politicians, they're deeply ashamed of the Christian past. The fact that this country has a Christian heritage, they don't like to think about it. They want to create a new world, a brave new world, that we're going to have a new world where we're going to get rid of all these old, antiquated concepts. We don't like to hear about these things. So people are very, very ashamed of the Christian's past. And that's a real shame, because they're cutting the branch that they're sitting on, really. But why are we ashamed? Well, let me give you some reasons. These are unreasonable reasons, but this is the reasons that people have, and that we have before we see our need of the Lord, of the Savior. Well, we don't want to associate ourselves with Christ and His Word, because His message is deeply offensive. Look, it's in this verse, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words, here it is, in this adulterous and sinful generation. God, this message is demeaning. This message is calling me a rotten sinner. I'm not going to listen to a message like this. This message from God is calling me to grovel and repent. I'm not going to do that. And so this is why so many people hate the Christian faith, or hate the Bible message. We don't want to be called sinners. Our pride will not allow that to happen. And this is the state of all of us before we come to Christ. It was my position also. A sinful generation. We don't like to hear these things. And often we don't realize how conditioned we are from this world, how conditioned we are until the gospel challenges us. I might come across as, and people, God has given us many virtues, even as people who do not know Him. We might be very patient, very gentle people, very gentle-natured, but when someone challenges me with the gospel, then all of a sudden the knife comes out, and I get all offended and upset. See, there is a natural hostility towards the concept of God and Him being our Creator, and the fact that our lives don't belong to ourselves, but our lives belong to Him, and we are His rightful property. We don't like to hear these things, but this is true. There is great pressure to renounce the concept of there being a loving Creator, a Creator who is ready to forgive us. There is great pressure in society today to cast off that old concept. It is an old concept, but it's an eternal concept. And there was great pressure in the time of Christ as well for people to reject Christ. We know this because a classic example is the Gospel of John, chapter 9, when the blind man is able to see. Christ heals him, and he can see, and the Pharisees don't seem to believe him, and then they call his parents, and his parents say, well, don't question us, you speak to him. Why were their parents saying that? Well, they didn't want to be cast out of the synagogue. And then he ended up, the blind man, because he, deep down, he knew that this man wasn't a sinner. This man is divine. And he professed Christ. And what happened when he professed Christ? Right at the end of the chapter of the Gospel of John, he is cast out of the synagogue. So even then, there was great hostility towards Christ. And it's the same today. We use his name as a swear word. His name is dragged through the mud in society today. All these things, we expect these things, because the Bible says these things, this is what will happen. But whose side am I on? Am I on the Lord's side, or am I in the kingdom of darkness? This is the issues that we'll be thinking about this morning. Well, other reasons. I've given you one reason why people are ashamed of Christ, and that is that they think his message is very offensive. And another reason is this. Christians are very weak. The Christian faith is a very weak religion. You don't see Christians holding sway in society. They're not the trendsetters today. They're not prominent in the fashion industry, and they're not the big
they're not the world shakers today. And what about Christ's mission? Didn't he fail? He seemed like a good man, and he had some profound things to say, but he died. He was crucified. That's a weak religion, and Christians are weak. They're doormats. And this is how people think as well. That's a weak religion. We don't want this kind of religion. It's not influential. Well, actually, it is influential. It is influential in a mighty way. But this is how people think. Christianity is weak. And another reason why we are ashamed of the gospel and of Christ. Christians are very judgmental people. Christians are very hard-hearted people. Christians are hypocrites. This is the kind of message you'll hear, especially, I don't watch these things, but I used to, and I recall these things. If you watch a lot of Hollywood movies, Christians are portrayed in the most evil way. They're seen as bigots. They're seen as the worst possible people. It's as if they've just stepped out of hell. Christians are painted in the worst colors. It's deceptive, friends. It's not true. Why, if you meet genuine Bible-believing Christians, those who are truly saved, they're the most gentle and reasonable people you'll ever meet. But this is how the Christian faith is portrayed today in society. And people believe it. And the hostility towards the Bible and the Christian faith grows as a result of this mass lie that, unfortunately, there are some people who profess Christ and some sectors within the Christian faith where there is hypocrisy. But those who are genuinely saved, although we're not perfect, we're certainly not guilty of this accusation. And another reason why people reject the gospel, this is a very popular reason. Well, science has dismissed God. Science has dismissed the Bible. We don't need to believe it anymore. We can hold on to evolution. Evolution has dismissed this nonsense. I saw an article a few years ago on the BBC website, and they were saying, look at the strata on this rock formation, the layers. Each layer represents thousands and thousands of years, and if you count up all the layers, it goes into the millions. The Bible is disproved as a result. Really? Did you know that there are earthquakes and there are huge earthquakes today? I'm thinking of one particularly in the 80s. There was this massive eruption. And these formations were formed within a matter of hours, in a matter of days. So you don't hear the other side of the argument when you tune into the media. It's so deceptive. Actually, evolution is well and truly a theory in crisis. The sophistication of even the most simplest life form is absolutely staggering. And we're expected to believe that these things happen by accident? Friends, it's fairy tale language. It really is. But why do people clutch on to this theory? Well, because it gives me license to live as I want, to do as I please. Of course, it's going to be very attractive. So these things are so important to understand. But this is another reason. God has been dismissed by science. It's not true, but people clutch onto it, and it's a very convenient religion, and it is a religion. There are many other reasons I can give why people find the Bible and the Christian faith embarrassing, and they're ashamed of it. Christianity, the Bible today, is very, very unpopular. In fact, it is so unpopular that, and I hesitate to say this, but I have to, many churches are starting to capitulate. They feel the pressure of the hostility, and so they're trying to make their churches more seeker-friendly. We're not going to talk about sin that much. We're not going to talk about these things concerning judgment and hell. We want to make our churches seeker-sensitive so people aren't offended. They mean well. They mean well, but it's wrong. You don't do that. The Spirit won't work. People might get emotionally stirred up, but they won't actually really understand the gospel and their own depravity and their own heart. Friend, these things are serious. You see how solemn. If you read this verse, it's so solemn. It's so serious. Look at just read this. I'll read it again.
Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So I've given you reasons why people are ashamed of the gospel, and there are other reasons also, but now I want to give you reasons why you shouldn't be ashamed, why we shouldn't be ashamed of our Creator, of our wonderful, benevolent Creator. Well, he is our Creator. That's the first reason. People who attack the Bible and have an axe to grind against, they breathe his air, and he can withdraw that air whenever he pleases. The patience and long-suffering of our Creator. He's our Creator. He's given us many gifts, many talents, many blessings in the world. And another reason is this. God has our real interests at heart. He really does. He has to tell us the bad things. He has to tell us the bad news before he can reveal to us the good news. He has to tell us that we're sinners. He has to tell us that we're in trouble. It's the kindest thing to do. Imagine if a parent never disciplined their child and let the child do whatever he or she wanted. That person would, you would be a very unloving parent. And God is the same. He has to show us that we're in deep trouble. If we don't see our real situation, we won't see our need of the Savior. What's this message about a man dying on the Roman cross 2,000 years ago? What relevance does that have to me? But when you start to explain the reason why, and the fact that we are depraved, and our sins are consuming us, and we're looming towards judgment, then our need of saving becomes all the more apparent. So these things are so God is honest with us. The Bible is so blatantly honest. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. That's what the world is like. Tells us things that we're only things that we want to hear. Doesn't tell us what we really want and what we really need. Society tells us that people, well, we're not perfect as human beings, but we're good at heart. We're good at heart, and we can make this world a better place. It's not true, friends. We're not good at heart. We're not 100% evil. We're not utterly depraved, it's true, but we're sinners, and we need God's grace. We need his forgiveness. We need his love desperately. This idea that that we're good at heart and the world is getting better, it's fairy tale language. And then many more reasons why we should never be ashamed of the Savior, of Christ, our Creator. We're dealing with someone who is sovereign over all the history of the human race, over the history of all the world. We're dealing with someone who cannot be mocked. There is no wisdom, there is no counsel, there is no understanding against the Lord, we're told in Proverbs. You cannot outsmart your Creator. You cannot pull the wool over his eyes. He knows these things have been planned from eternity past. We need to realize that this is not a fellow human being I'm dealing with. This is the Creator God. And he is sovereign over all things. And although he doesn't punish me now, I should be careful with the words I use, my attitude toward him. And here's another reason, would I be ashamed of the one, the Creator, who was willing to suffer such depths of suffering for someone like me? Would I be ashamed of such a God who was willing to be crucified and humiliated on the cross 2,000 years ago? Should I be ashamed of such? Who else would do that for me? Is even my closest friend, relatives, family, brother, sister, husband, wife, father, who would die for my sins? No one except the Savior. He alone would be willing to do such a wonderful thing. Should I be ashamed of such a God? Such a wonderful God. Though Creator, though infinitely holy, he would be willing to do such a thing for a creature like me. Should I be ashamed, another reason, of the Creator who is worshipped by infinite host of angels, mighty created beings in glory? If we could see the scene of heaven right now, we would be absolutely amazed. Should I be ashamed of such an awesome, infinite God? Should I be ashamed of the Creator because he is mocked and laughed at now, as if that will always be the case?
And many people fall into this trap. They're pressured to go the direction that the world is going or society is going. People don't like this message. People don't like the Bible anymore. People think it's irrelevant, and so I will follow this trend. I don't want to be isolated. I don't want to be seen as someone who's going backwards. I don't want people to be ashamed of me. Be careful, friend. That's dangerous, and so many people fall into that trap. Am I ashamed of the Creator because He is laughed at and mocked? That won't always be the case. There is a day coming, and a day that's coming soon, when every knee will be forced to bow. Even the most hardened atheists, and God saves those who are hardened heart, but those who resist Him to the bitter end, when the Lord of glory comes with His vast train of angels, every knee will be forced to bow. Christians will bow willingly and with great joy, but those who have lifelong refused Him and are antagonistic towards Him, they will be forced to bow the knee and confess that He is Lord. So it won't always be this way. Things are not as they seem. And do I realize that this small amount of time is nothing compared to eternity? This is just a small phase in God's timetable. When Christ returns, He will be vindicated before the eyes of the entire world. And if I'm a Christian, I will share in that vindication. It's true. Christians are treated with contempt, not always, but they're pushed to the fringe of society and ignored, and we're seen as nothing, and we're seen even as... And it's very hurtful to hear these things. When people call us bigots, and it's hurtful, it hurts. It's not nice, it's not true. We're not. But when people call us these things, well, it's offending Christ as well, because we're nailing our colours to the cross of Christ. And when Christ is vindicated on that great day, we will be vindicated as well with Him. What a glorious day that will be. Whose side are you on, friend? Whose side are you on? Well, as we draw close to the conclusion, let's do a comparison. By being accepted by this world, am I getting a good deal or a raw deal? Will I be satisfied belonging to this world or belonging to God? So, with the time I have left, we'll investigate this. If I'm accepted by God, I'll be rejected by the world. And if I'm accepted by the world, I will be rejected by God. It's either one or the other. It can't be both ways. So, let's first look at the choice or the seeking the Lord. What will happen if I'm accepted by Him? Well, He'll save my soul from eternal punishment. I appeal to Him to forgive me. Lord, I don't deserve it. Forgive me. Save me. He'll change me. He'll forgive me. He'll cleanse me. He will rescue me from the second death, which is eternal banishment from His presence. Friends, that's awful. That's awful. In Revelation chapter 18, we get a glimpse of what it will be like. Read Revelation chapter 18. It's horrifying when you see what kind of place hell is. There's no more light. There will be no more sound of the bride and the bridegroom. That means there'll be no love in hell. And the list goes on and on and on. Friend, I and the Lord, God takes no pleasure in banishing people away to this place. But He's in this day of grace, He's calling us to seek Him. He's willing and ready to forgive, eager. Well, this is what He does. If I'm not ashamed of Him, if I seek Him, He will receive me, He will forgive me, He will rescue me from that awful place and even the consequences of sin in this life. He'll protect me and guide me through life. He will help me and bless me through every trouble and difficulty as His child. He will give me such wisdom and insight as to how the world works and why things are the way they are. The light that God shines upon the Christian life, we're given so much understanding. We understand so many things. We can see clearly the spiritual and moral dangers in life, which we never could see before we were converted. When I do not have Christ, I cannot see the many spiritual and moral dangers in life. But when I come to know Him, He reveals so much to me. He guides me. He helps me. He gives me such amazing insight into his plans. I look at world history, I look at the past through the biblical perspective, and it all makes sense. And I look to the future, and things are crystal clear. And I do not fear the future. Many people fear the future today, but Christians don't. Yes, we're concerned for other people, and we're concerned for our children and things of this nature, but concerning my own soul, oh no, I don't fear the future, because our Lord is working out all things for that great and coming day. So it's a wonderful thing to be the Lord's child and not to be ashamed of Him. We go through trials like everyone else, but God gives us such comfort and such help through every difficulty and trial. We have His promises. We have constant access to Him in prayer. You can pray to Him whenever you want. The door is always open, and He always listens, and He answers, and He blesses, maybe in ways that are not always expected, but He is a God who hears and answers the prayers of His people. Once I become a Christian, I never want to go back to the old life, and that's a testimony of all those who come to Christ. So the many blessings and the privileges and the undeserved honors bestowed upon those who come to Christ and own Him. But what about the world? If I belong to the world, what will I get? If I seek acceptance from this world and not from my Creator, what will happen? Well, I can tell you, the world doesn't care about you. The world, I'm just a little number. I'm just a little cog in this huge world system. Often, the world likes to experiment and manipulate us. And there's a massive campaign right now in society with young people, where I'm almost like a lab rat. I'm being prodded and poked. New ideas are coming. We'll try this on society and see how it works. We'll change things entirely, and we'll experiment with the young people and see what happens. So if I had no concern for the damage that will be inflicted, the consequences, so you find acceptance in this world, is great collateral damage to your soul, morally, eternally. And the world, generally speaking, doesn't care about you. You're just a little number. You're just a small little cog in this world system. For example, if I'll just give social media as an illustration. There's many other ways you can express this. But if I'm depressed, if I feel very depressed and upset, and I send a picture on my Facebook page, perhaps, and I tell people that I'm not very happy, you're not going to get a lot of thumbs up on your feed. People are not going to be very impressed with that. If you mope and you complain and you're sad, the world's happiness. Well, if you live for this life, you will experience pleasures. There will be pleasures and happiness, but it's not long. It doesn't last long. It's superficial. And many people today, so many people are doing this. They're comparing their lifestyle to other people's lifestyle. Again, I'm using social media as an example. I will send pictures of the best moments of my life. Look, I'm with this person in Italy. I'll take a picture. I'm here. Look what I've bought. And they'll send all these things. And I'll create my own virtual world. And then I'll see another person's profile. Oh, they've been there. They've done this. I've got to up my game. I've got to do better. And so there seems to be this competition. Maybe young people are more vulnerable to this, but people don't see the other side. I think that person's living a wonderful life because he's been there, he's with this person, he's done this, he's done that. But deep down, that person is very lonely and very... The world cannot help you, friends, with the greatest issues in life. If you look for acceptance and belonging in this world, the deep longings of the soul will never be met. And it's not just Christians that are saying this. Even the great CEOs of these giant companies have come out and they've confessed, we've created a monster. We're tearing the social fabric of society apart by what we've done. So the world cannot help you with the greatest needs of the soul. So it's so important to understand this. I'm playing around on my phone, distracted with all this trivia, and yet my life is slipping away very fast. Satan is making a fool of me. By belonging to this world, what would I have accomplished when I die?
Well, I might have many possessions. Might have many friends. Maybe most of my friends will be online. Can I even call them my real, genuine friends? Well, it's a raw deal, friend. It's a raw deal. But God's grace is able to save me eternally and upholds me and blesses me. And it's based on a relationship, a personal, close relationship with a Creator. And the Creator who was willing to be my Savior. These things are so substantial and so profound. And these things aren't rewarded to me. It's undeserved. I don't deserve this. As one who was in defiance against my Creator, it's freely given as a gift, an undeserved gift. This is the wonderful message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, the eternal God, the second person of the Trinity, came to this world 2,000 years ago on that costly mission to pay the full weight of sin for every sinner he would purchase for himself. On that cross, he was bearing the hell that I should have borne, the hell that I should have suffered for eternity. Miraculously, in the space of 6 hours, he suffered my hell. What a Savior! There is no greater love than this, that the Son of God would say to his Father, in effect, Father, I will suffer the punishment of that man, that woman, that child. Place that punishment on me, Father. I will bear it, so that they can be forgiven and received and blessed by us forever. There is no greater mess. Why would you be ashamed of such a God? Why would you be ashamed of such a wonderful God? Oh, friends, may you see your need of the Savior this morning, sealed by the blood of Christ. Well, I mentioned from the start, and perhaps you're in this position today, I mentioned from the start that you can't have it both ways. You can't sit on the fence with this issue. And Satan, and I know this because he convinced me of this for many years, I thought to myself, I can have the best of both worlds. You see, I don't want to live a blatant sinful lifestyle. I don't want that. And I do appreciate the Christian culture. And I don't like the idea of personal faith. I want to guide my own affairs in life. I want dependence of my own life. So I know what I'll do, and Satan is behind the scenes here. I'm not going to go into these great horrible sins that I see around me, but I'm going to be my own boss, and I enjoy the Christian culture. I'll enjoy that and appreciate that, so I can have the best of both worlds. But when it comes to personal faith and having a close relationship with my Creator, I don't like that, but I'll just kind of sit on the fence. Friend, if that's your position, I have to say this, because this was my situation as well. You're not on the Lord's side. You're still in the enemy camp. It's only when you personally encounter the Lord of glory, you have a personal living relationship with him. Every other way is a counterfeit. I need to appeal to the Lord to forgive me. And then I have a living relationship with him, and he will guide me in life. He will tell me what to do. You must be willing to give your life to him, because he has given his life for you. And to give my life to him is tiny. And he knows what's best for me. I don't know what's best for me. Lord, I yield my life to thee. Take my life and let it be ever, always, all for thee. Oh, may that be your attitude this morning, friend. Maybe you think you're sitting on the fence, but in reality, you're in the kingdom of darkness. Oh, seek the Savior. Have that wonderful relationship with him. Experience the wonder of being forgiven by your Creator, by your Savior. I just read this verse in closing. Verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Be more concerned about being accepted by him. Be more concerned about what he thinks of you, not what other people think of you. Be more concerned about being accepted by him. I appeal, friends, let this be an urgent matter for you. And if you're on the Lord's side, on that day when the Lord returns, it will be the opposite of shame. It will be unimagined joy and excitement. So do not delay, friends. Seek the Savior while he may be found. Amen.